All right, so for the next 35 or so minutes, I'm going to be carrying on with a series that we started at the beginning of this month. So what we do as a church is, on a monthly basis, we get a sense of what God is speaking to us as a local church. And we, once we get that sense, then we carry on and we teach around that theme for that particular month. So that each month usually would have like a focus of what we believe God wants us to learn as a local church, and we focus on that series or that topic. So at the beginning of this month, we started looking at a series called How Do I Live a Fulfilled Life? How can I live a fulfilled life? And I said that whether you're a boy or a girl, man or woman, whatever point it is in your life, that question will turn up. Now, you might not ask yourself that question directly, but certain actions you take or certain directions that you go in will kind of like indicate that you're asking yourself that question, which is, how can I live a fulfilled life? Now, we looked at a number of things and we said that usually the number of things that we believe will give us a fulfilled life. Sometimes we're like, and this is good, by the way, sometimes we think, oh, if I can just get that job, or if I can have like enough money to pay my bills, to fulfill my financial obligations, and if I can throw in a holiday to Dubai, that would be great, then my life is good. We looked at another section where I mentioned that if you're not even thinking about the financial part of it or your career or anything like that, there are times that we think that, okay, if I can just get this kind of person in my life, this kind of man, the kind of man that just tells me, put your feet up, I'll make you breakfast in bed, if I can just get that kind of man, then yeah, my life will be fulfilled. Or if I can get this kind of woman, you know, that would, and we sometimes believe, and that's not bad, by the way, that if I can just get this kind of relationship, then my life will be fulfilled. The third installment we looked at was saying, okay, if the two I mentioned are not in your boat, then there are times that we focus so much on our children, which we should, by the way, but we take it to another level where we feel that if I can just get my children to a particular point, or if I have these number of children, or if I can have like a boy or a girl, or if I can have just this, then my life will be fulfilled. And the conclusion that we came to was this. Even though those things are valid and we should strive for those things, we realized at the end of the day that those things possibly cannot give us the depth of fulfillment that we need. Now, I'm distinguishing between two things: fulfillment that is heartfelt, something that just fills your heart, as opposed to fulfillment of, okay, this is good, and I've achieved this thing, this is fantastic, I have a great, whatever it is. That's one kind of fulfillment, but I'm talking about a heartfelt fulfillment. The kind of fulfillment that when you're 90 years old, or when you're 100, you can look at your life and say, yes, I have a deep sense of fulfillment. And at the end of the day, I pointed to the fact that Jesus is the only one that can give us that depth of fulfillment that will satisfy our souls. Someone might say, yeah, Pastor Benson, whatever. You know, there are people who are not Christians and they seem like they're fulfilled. They're having a ball. I can see them on Instagram sometimes. They're selfieing themselves and all those things. I'm not disputing that fact. Do you understand? But what I am saying is this. I have been with people who've been successful and were about to draw their last breath in real life, not just by proxy. I've been with loads of people who have lived life, and when it was time to check out, for one reason or the other, I observed the things that they were reflecting on. And it wasn't those things. It was, what am I going to say when I meet my Maker in heaven? What am I going to tell him? So those were the things that we looked at. Today, I'm carrying on with another installment. I just wanted to give us like a background of what we've been looking at. So today, we're carrying on with how can I live a fulfilled life? And we're going to look at the story of a man in the Bible called Peter. I will just go through a number of bits about his life. Then I'll make a few points. Now, Peter was a key disciple of Jesus. This man was living in his own stead, a fulfilled life. Everything was going great for this man. Everything was fantastic. And we'll just look at a number of things about this man. I'll read some scriptures here. So we realize that in his walk with God, it was like, man, I know that relationships are not going to fulfill me. I realized that a trip to Dubai, Afghanistan, sorry, nobody goes to Afghanistan for holiday. Did I say Afghanistan? No, nobody, strike that off my destination list. It has to be Dubai, Miami. I'm sure you guys don't want to go to Dubai or Miami. You want to go to Afghanistan, you want to go to like, you better speak up because I have some connections in this age. Just kidding. I don't want any of that. I realize that's good. I know that, you know, relationships can give me that depth of fulfillment. And he realizes that it's Jesus that can do that. And he's excited. Then Peter carries on with his life. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 17, when Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus was asking, who do people say that I am? And I'll read Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 17. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah, and still others Jeremiah and one of the prophets. Jesus now asks again to Peter, what about you? He replied, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So the first thing we say about the life of Peter was that, man, this guy knew Jesus by revelation. Everybody was still guessing. They were still saying, well, what, you know, Jesus is whatever, a prophet, Jesus is. And Peter comes back with an answer saying, you are the Son of God. So this was a man that knew Jesus by revelation. And he was walking with Jesus. Now, something else about Peter I'll read is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 to 29. Jesus is walking on water and his disciples see him. Peter is amongst the disciples in the boat. And Matthew chapter 14, 26 to 29 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out when they saw Jesus walking on water towards them. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then Peter now goes, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come on the water. Come, he said. Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. I don't know about you. I mean, I can imagine I'm going on, what's the name of that? Someone give me like the name of a river in Bristol. Avon. Oh man, you guys, your geography is a bit shaky. Is it Avon? Are you sure? Okay, River Avon. Maybe it's like a, no, it's not deep enough. You can swim out of that. Something like Atlantic Ocean. So this guy, they're out in the ocean. And suddenly they see Jesus walking towards them. Some people are laughing there. That is, they're giving me some other, I'll just ignore that. They're giving me some rivers abroad. And it's like ocean, everybody's looking around. And they're fishing. Suddenly they see Jesus coming and they're terrified. When they realize it's Jesus, Peter immediately says, let me come. Jesus says, come. And he begins to walk on water. He begins to walk on water. Can you imagine what that selfie will have been like? Are you laughing? Yeah. Can you imagine Not photo trick now, like, you know, people can do that, you know, just do some editing. But in Peter walking, I mean, it will have trended. They will have been saying, man, this man is on top of his game. Do you get what I mean? This man is on top of his game. Man, there'll be hashtag Peter walks on water. Or hashtag Pastor B walks on water. In fact, I'll be like, no, I wouldn't do this in real life per se. But if it was me, I'll be like, man, if you want this selfie picture of me, send me like, give me an amount, like, what was it worth? $2,000, but yeah. I'm not an American preacher, so I'm just, this is an example, by the way. You know, I'll be trending. People will be like, the BBC will be like, man walks on water. This Pastor B man is on top of his, do you understand what I mean? Peter was on top of his game, spiritually speaking. This guy could preach a sermon. He would preach and people would be, Then his life carries on as well. This man was so passionate for Christ. We're looking at Peter here and living a fulfilled life. Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. Jesus was saying, I'm about to be crucified. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be nailed to the cross. And everybody's like, okay, they didn't quite, you know. And Peter comes out and he says in Matthew chapter 26, 35, it says, Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the disciples casually said it. Like, okay, we won't disown you. But Peter was so vehement. He was so vocal about this. And I think I gave this example a while ago. I trust all of you in this church, right? Can you imagine? I'm sure you guys would say the same thing about me. So imagine as I'm preaching now. By the way, this is an example, so just relax. As I'm preaching now, we just have like a few armed men, all masked. They just come into this place with AK-47s and they shoot into the ceiling. And they say, well, hang on, everybody. We don't want anyone here. We have no business with anyone here. The only person we want is Pastor Benson. We are very unhappy with his preaching. We don't like him, and we have been sent to take him out. And I'll be stood here, and you know what I think you guys would do? You'd do like Peter did. You'd be like, what? You build a wall around me and say, no, you can't take out Pastor Benson. You'd have to go through us. You'd have to kill us first. You'd have to do all that. Are you guys smiling? Wouldn't you do that? Isn't that what your response would be? Isn't that what your response would be? You're like, you're not sure. Excuse me. What do you mean by that? So, Peter was out there. Peter was like, Pastor Benson, all the people that are sitting here, they look like they're not quite sure, but I will die for you. Oh, man. Everybody will have looked at him in church and said, my goodness. This is the guy I want to be like. This is the man I want to be like. They will have Peter's picture as phone screensaver. Man I want to be like. Hashtag. And this was how Peter's life was. Peter was living a fulfilled life. And you know, you might be here and you're like, okay, Pastor Benson, you've told us this really interesting story about Peter. How does that relate to me? I don't want to walk on water. I don't want to die for anyone. I just want to have my Sunday lunch and be cool. So how does that relate to me? Well, I believe the way it relates to you is this. You might be at a point in your life now, or you might get to a point in your life, or you might have seasons in your life, or you might have had seasons in your life, or probably you're going to have seasons in your life where everything seems to be going well. Do you understand? Everything seems to have fallen in place in that season. You got the nice job or whatever that you're looking for, which is great. You've fulfilled the things that you want to fulfill. there's not a lot going on, but you've been through a lot, but now in this season, it seems like you're fine. Do you understand? Peter was so cool at this point in his life. Then something happens to him. Something happens to Peter. So I'm looking at the life of Peter in three parts. The first part that I've described is he's in a season of his life where he's living a fulfilled life. And quite frankly, he's happy. He's cool. It's kind of like relatively okay. Everything has settled down for him. Maybe he had a few challenges here and there, but now he's okay. Then we move to the second part of the life of Peter. And I'll read Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. It's quite a long read, but I'll read it. Matthew 26, 69 to 75. Now, background story. The unthinkable happened. Jesus was arrested. And they were dragging Jesus away to go and crucify him. Jesus was chained up with soldiers, and all his disciples ran away, including Peter. But it's not just the running away. Everybody ran away. Well, you know, understandably, you know, they were all afraid. But something else happens to Peter in this second phase of his life. Matthew 26, 69 to 75. Says, now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You were also with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, Peter said. Then they went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again and with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. And he began to rain down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man. Immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus, the word that Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. So, can you imagine this? I'll go back to the analogy I gave here, where some men come in here masked, AK-47. They're like, you guys, don't worry, we just want Pastor Benson. And they seize me, and you guys just kind of like go to the back there. I won't say you run away, you know, that's just too obvious. You'd be like, oh, I need to use the kitchen. Understandable. And it's just me. And they drag me out. And you're going to Lidl. You're like, when I say you, I'm talking like in the third person, not you, but you get what I mean. And you're out there. I'm like, man, do you know what happened in church? Someone came, some people came with guns and we just escaped. And you're like, my goodness, that was such a trying experience. I'm going to go to Lidl. Then you go to Lidl and you bought like water to calm your nerves down, green tea or lemon green tea, if that's what you like. And you're at the till. You're like, man, it's just been such a trying day. Then the girl at the counter says, hang on, I recognize you. You go to that church down the road with that Pastor Benson guy that was just taken, that was just arrested. Then you say, Pastor Benson, who is that? I don't know him. Then after that, you're like, man, I need to have some, I've bought my Coca-Cola now. I need some kebab. You go to the kebab shop just next door to Lidl, and the guy goes, hey, I know you. You're the one in that church. I'm like, never. I don't know who's this Pastor Benson. Why is everybody asking me about Pastor Benson? Then the third time, you go to the next shop, and you want to buy, I don't know, biscuits or something as appetizer. And the guys that arrested me are just lurking around the corner. And the guy at the shop now tells you, I know you, the third time. I've seen you going to that church. In fact, I saw you on their Instagram page. I saw you on their Instagram page. You attend that church, then you now go, you start swearing. Never! That Pastor Benson, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And as you're doing that, they're dragging me across the shop. And I look in the shop and our eyes meet. Then you remember, wow, Pastor Benson was there for me when I had nobody. Pastor Benson was there for me when I was kicked out of my house. Pastor Benson housed my family. Pastor Benson gave his rent money to me. Pastor Benson did this for me. How would you feel? Tell me. How would you feel? Let me take it a step further. How would you feel if I was let, they released me, they just let me go, and I came back to church? I now said to you, the past has happened. Now, I want you to come back to church. Not only that, I want you to lead the church. I'm going on holiday. I want you to, you know, preach and do all these things. How would you feel about that? Would you be excited to carry on? Or would you be filled with such guilt and shame that everybody in the world, everybody in Fish Ponds knows that you're the one that denied Pastor Benson at his dying hour of need? How would that make you feel? Well, I know how it would make me feel. I would be so ashamed. I would be so ashamed that, man, I've let someone who's been so dear to me, I let that person down at their hour of need. Basically, I wouldn't even come to church again. Oh, seriously, I wouldn't come because I'll be so embarrassed. Because coming in there is like everybody looks at you and like, oh, that's that guy that let Pastor Benson down. At least I ran away, but I didn't swear three times and deny him. So I think I'm better off. So Peter was filled with shame. So this was the guy that was doing so well, in quote, in his own eyes. And now he was at rock bottom. He was no longer the guy that walked on water that people wanted to associate with. He was no longer that guy that people were like looking up to. They removed him from being their phone's screensaver. Instagram blocked his accounts. This useless man who cannot be counted on. We don't want you on Instagram anymore. Twitter, block. That's what happened to Peter. So again, it's, well, you're not Peter, so how, what does that have to do with you? Do you get what I mean? I would never deny anyone. I haven't had that kind of experience. So, Well, let me tell you how it relates to you then. Do you know that at one point or so in your life, at one point or so in my life, we will experience a situation or we might experience circumstances that will drain us of our excitement. In fact, it might be such a situation that it even makes us feel extremely guilty or ashamed or just out of this world. You know, I've met people who, in quote, everything was good for them, and something happened. Maybe something happened financially and they just hit rock bottom. Maybe something happened in their relationship and they hit rock bottom. Maybe something happened in the lives of the people they loved and they hit rock bottom. And when they hit rock bottom, it was now like, Peter, what is left of my life? And they now pick themselves up a bit and they're just limping through life and pretending that, well, everything is okay. But in their hearts, they know that, man, I've had it with life. This I did, it failed. This person I loved, they disappointed me. This thing that I tried, I failed. And they're just putting on a smile But really, the excitement, the thing that just used to make them, their hopes and aspirations, everything that they thought would give them that, gone. So that's what happened to Peter. He just thought, well, I'll just keep going fishing. I'll just wait till it's my time to check out. All this church business, all these aspirations that I had, that have failed, my life is really not worth much, actually. I'm just going to limp through life. Just do what I can. Maybe I'll attend church once in a while so Pastor Benson doesn't keep texting me, where are you? But really, I've had enough. That was what Peter felt like. So what am I saying this morning? We're looking at living a fulfilled life. But what happens when your life or my life hits a bump? What happens? Let me take it a step further. What does God have to do with you in that circumstance? What business does Jesus have in that circumstance? Actually, let me put it another way. What is Jesus thinking about at that moment that you're feeling that your life is a substandard of what you had imagined it to be? What's Jesus really thinking about? What is God really thinking? I mean, I want to know. Is Jesus just keeping quiet? What is he thinking about? Is he thinking about me at all? Is he concerned about me? Does it even matter to him? Has he put me on the shelf, actually? That was what Peter was asking. Has he put me on the shelf? Is my life really worth anything? Do you understand? That was what Peter was asking. So what did Jesus really think about this whole situation? Was Jesus even concerned at all? Was Jesus disappointed in him? Was Jesus saying, this Peter guy, I trusted you, you've let me down, and it's over? Was that what Jesus was saying? What was Jesus really saying? I would be curious to know. I'd really be curious to know. You understand? The third part. And, you know, this is the part that really gets me excited. And for me as an individual, I think there was once someone was asking me, Pastor Benson, why are you so excited this morning? Should you be excited with all X, X, Y, and Z that's happened? I'm like, actually, I shouldn't be. But the reason I'm excited is this. Let's look at the life of Peter. And then after this, we will pray. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. When Jesus rises from the dead, an angel appears to Mary, who was the first to see Mary Magdalene, the first to go to the tomb. And Jesus now, through the angel, tells Mary, I have risen, all right? But see what he says. Verse 7. He says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. And Peter. So I'm like reading this, I'm like, the same Peter? Why didn't you say and John? John didn't run away, you know. Why didn't you say and he said and Peter? Before Jesus, when the first thing Jesus communicates when he rises is and Peter. So while Jesus was on the cross, while Jesus was in the grave 3 days, as he was rising, he was thinking, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter. This Peter guy, what's up? This Peter guy, he's dejected. This Peter guy, he's ashamed. This Peter guy, what's he going to do? And he's thinking, I'm Pastor B. This Pastor B guy, this has happened to him. What's happening to him? Is he going to be like this? Is he going to be all right? You can put your name in there as well. And so Jesus in his pain, Jesus in the most important phase of his life was concerned about Peter. So what that means is this. Jesus is concerned about you as well. When you hit a road bump in life, he's not saying, suck it up. You can do better. You should have known better. This guy, you're not to be trusted. No. He said, and Peter. And Peter. So why is this important to us this morning? Why am I saying what I'm saying? I'm saying this to us that in life, as we move forward in life, you and I will experience a fulfilled life in Jesus' name. The things that are in your heart that you want to achieve, the things that God has prepared for you, you will achieve those things. But if at any point in time you hit a roadblock, you can be rest assured that Jesus is saying, and put your name there. And put your name there. Do you understand? So if Jesus is saying that, what that brings to my heart is comfort. That man, no matter what happens, Jesus is saying, and Pastor B. Jesus now comes back and he approaches Peter. And he tells Peter, he didn't tell Peter, you did X, Y, and Z. He said, Peter, the only thing I need from you is to follow me. He didn't say, Peter, fix yourself. He didn't say, Peter, X, Y, and Z. He just said, no. Peter, I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to follow me. And as you follow me, all the shame, the rejection you feel, the guilt you feel, I'll deal with all that. Just follow me. Let's rise up and pray this morning. So, we're looking at living a fulfilled life. And I think what I'm going to call this topic, or this subsection, is and dash. You put your name there. So this morning, I just want us to pray. It's a personal prayer that we want to pray this morning. And it's the prayer of, God, this is where I am, really. Help me. And if you're not there, or you've never been there, just say, Lord, if I ever get there, remind me of and Peter. So that I'll know that you still have a destiny for me. That I'll know that irrespective of what has happened, my life just doesn't stop at that bump. My life will continue as I follow you. So the prayer I'm asking us to pray this morning, and that I'll pray as well, is this. God, if I ever hit a bump, remind me that you've got my back. And help me to keep following you. That's the prayer I'd like us to pray this morning. It's a personal prayer. Immortal, invincible, God only wise. Jesus, we just want to say thank you that even when we go through these times, you do not leave us or forsake us, as you've said. That even though circumstances speak shame, they speak guilt to us, they speak a sort of hopelessness, that in the midst of that, you, the God of all hope, you, the God of all comfort, you lift us up, you take us by the hand and bring us out of that situation, asking us to follow you. That as we follow you, every guilt, every shame, every regret that we have will be wiped away. God of all comforts, your word says in 2 Corinthians, you said that you're the God of all comforts, that we comfort others by the comfort that you have comforted us with. My Father, my King, bring comfort to every heart that is here this morning. Bring comfort to every heart that will experience this in the future. remind us every time we're in that situation, there's an and with a dash. In Jesus' name.